Welcome to the Why Not Today podcast with Leslie Kane. And this is a podcast for women entrepreneurs who are ready to start a business, get unstuck, or grow with more courage, clarity, and confidence. If you're feeling scattered, overwhelmed, or unsure of where to begin, this is your space for practical business coaching, simple systems, and real stories of courage. You'll get tools, support, and the permission to believe you can take action today, not Sunday. I'm Leslie Kane, a courage coach, podcast host, and founder of the Why Not Today movement. I created this podcast in honor of my dad, Patrick Kane, whose favorite saying was or phrase, "Why not today?" A question that has become my mantra and mission. For over 30 years, I've been encouraging and supporting women in business, providing the tools and systems they need to take courageous, confident action in life and work. That's the thread that runs through everything I do, helping women believe in themselves, make bold moves, and create growth that feels aligned and doable. Each week, you'll hear solo episodes where I teach through common business challenges and guest interviews that go beyond inspiration to teach what actually works. Whether you're launching something new or navigating a pivot, you'll leave each episode with a clear next step and remember that you're not alone. Let's dive into Why Not Today, the podcast that helps you grow with courage, not chaos. And I always mention too, I do not edit these episodes. And one of the reasons is why not today is the movement. It's a mission. And we need to just start, and it's not going to be perfect. So my guest today is Pam Lamp, and I haven't met Pam in person, but if you've listened to this podcast very long, you know one of my guests was Laura Carney. And I met her online, well, saw her on TV on CBS Sunday Morning 2 years ago this week that when we're recording this. And she has like sent me in the direction of so many amazing people, including Pam. And I'm excited to dive into your story and get to know you a little bit better. And so, Pam, why don't you introduce yourself? And what's the name of your book? It's
It's called Do the Next New Thing.
Do the Next New Thing,
Can
which
hold
I
that.
love it. She's got it. Yay. It's such a pretty fun book. I
Thank
have
you.
not put my hands on a book yet, but I'm definitely it's in my cart. I have to catch up. I try to finish a book before I start another one. So Pam, why don't you introduce yourself a little bit about who you are, and then we'll get into courage and your book and all the stories, which in reading the introduction, everything you're doing aligns with everything that I'm talking about.
Well, thank you for having me here today. I appreciate it, Leslie. I grew up in Indianapolis, Indiana, got married. My husband and I have lived in several different places, California, Texas, and now Nashville. Hopefully, we'll be here to stay. We have two grown sons. They both have wives and families. And growing up, I was a stay-at-home mom. I worked in human resources before they were born. What do I like to do? I like to cook and bake and play pickleball and golf and do
All the
things
fun
with
things.
friends and travel and read.
Yeah, I love all those things. So, Pam, what does courage mean to you?
Oh gosh, I think courage means getting out and taking the first step towards doing something that I'm afraid of doing. And that can be something big or small.
Love that. And that aligns with what your book is about. So let's talk about the book and how that came about. And did you have a why not today moment? I know the book is based on moving to Nashville, so we'll talk about that. But I'm sure there were lots of why not today moments in there that made you decide to write a book or do your project. So let's talk about that.
Well, it popped up rather organically. My boys were getting older and we lived in Houston. I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do with the rest of my life, what my purpose would be, my passion, if you will. And I agonized about that for a long time. I didn't really want to go to an office and work because I had in-laws and parents who were aging and needed help. They were in different cities. My boys were moving to different cities. And I just didn't know what I wanted to do. Was trying to think of some sort of job that I could start and have my own business. And then we moved. We moved to Nashville for my husband's job. It was the
Which I
right.
think, and I'm going to interrupt you real quick.
Sure.
What you just said, I think a lot of women think they're the only one that, and this story just keeps coming up over and over. And I'm passionate about helping support and navigate. Like, what's next? Like, we're not done. I had somebody that came to my luncheon the other day and just sent me a testimonial. She said before she walked in the luncheon, she felt like she was just coasting and working corporate, but she felt like she'd been basically, she said, put out to pasture. And nothing exciting. And she said she came to the luncheon and walked away from being around powerful, motivated, like-minded women. And she said she literally got in the car and exclaimed out loud, "I am back." And
Oh.
3 weeks applied for a new job and has gotten it. So just to
Exactly.
interrupt, like I think that's more of a thread that's going on that we aren't talking about.
Well, and I think I'm going to deviate just a second, but I think for several years, oh, I would go to a church meeting or a women's meeting, or I'd go to a function with my husband, and people would say, "And what do you do?" And I would just freeze. Because I thought, I'm a stay-at-home mom. I have all these things that I do. But as important as that job is, I didn't feel like I earned an income. And so I struggled with
Which
answering
is
that,
so sad.
which is so
It's
sad.
such an amazing job. And my mom, who I had on my podcast, and I had to fight her to get on. She's like, "I haven't done anything courageous." I'm like, first of all, you've raised six children, one having Down syndrome, like, and so many things she could talk about. But it's, and we all do it. We're just a stay-at-home mom, just a this, just a that. Even if you've got huge accolades in all areas, like, stay-at-home mom is a hard job.
And I loved every minute of it.
But we discount, we all do that. We just beat ourselves up and discount what we do. So.
So anyway, we moved to Nashville, and not only did I not have a passion project or know what I was going to do, I had no friends. I had left everything behind in Houston. You know, we'd lived there for 20 years, so I had my Bible study group, my book club, my friends that I got together with for birthdays and celebrations, and all our infrastructure was back in Houston. And I was 57 at the time we moved, and I did not realize how challenging it was going to be to make a new friend group. And I struggled for a little while. So, I one day, not long after we had gotten there, I thought, I wonder what would happen if I just did one new thing every single day to get myself out of the house, meet people, integrate myself into the community. And it didn't have to be a big thing. So I plastered our laundry room with lists. I just went through all those magazines that you find at the supermarket or the library, and I Googled, things to do in Nashville or just things I wanted to do, plastered them all over my wall, and I thought, I'm going to do this for a year. And I didn't know where it was going to take me, but it gave me a homework assignment. And I just felt like I was doing something to solve my problem.
You inspire me. Like, I've lived in the same town my whole life and outside of DC, and there's so many things I have never done, and there's so many cool things to do and restaurants. And you go to the same restaurant, the same store, the same, you hang out with the same people. And like, you've inspired me to say, you know what, I need to explore. I'm not ready to move, although it sounds a little exciting to go somewhere and know nobody and start over, because I love meeting people in it with, and I've done that just during COVID. I was spending time in an area 4 hours from here and joined the chamber and got to know people. But it's,
Well, I can say that it now I can say it was very fun. At the time, I didn't think it was so
yeah,
fun.
sounds scary.
I was seeing a wonderful therapist, and someone in Houston had connected me with this woman. And I'd go talk to her, and it was just to help me integrate into Nashville and feel better about the move. But I was telling her about this new thing project I was doing, and over the months, she would ask me questions about it, and we'd talk about it, and we'd talk about how I felt. And one day she looked at me and she said, "You need to write a book, because all of this information you're telling me is textbook information for people that we see in our practice. You know, people that are depressed, have anxiety issues." And she listed off a bunch of things. She said, "This is so helpful on so many levels." And of course, I looked at her like, "I can't write. I'm a writer." All the little voices were chirping. And but over the next few years, I did. And she's quoted in the book several times. She helped me with some of the research and some of the psychological aspects of it. And it came together, and it's been great. It's been
So
a gift.
it sounds like it's not just the book of your stories, but you're giving people hope and help.
Yeah, it's a story of I did not want it to be preachy. And I remember her saying, "But Pam, it has to be about you." And I found that difficult at first. But what it is stories of different things I did, how they helped me, and how it might help someone else. There's an interactive section or interactive page at the end of each section of the book that gives people to think of things to think about. And you put it out in the world and you think, oh, what are people going to think of this? But it's been the greatest gift of my life, truly.
I love that. And that keeps resonating with me. And I keep hearing this message over and over, from writing a book to doing a podcast to just, we need to share our stories and what we're doing, whether it's good, bad. I know somebody whose brother was addicted to drugs at 15 in a very affluent area, and then eventually passed away. He was addicted to heroin, not just drugs. Eventually passed away, and his family started a nonprofit a couple days later. It's like we need to hear these stories and we need to share. And there is an issue with loneliness, and we don't talk about all the things. And I think it's so important, and to give people that hope and permission. And if you just can make a difference in one person's life, it's worth it.
Well, I've received a lot of emails, and I guess you can Google me and get my address on the internet because I've received cards in the mail. And I thought I was, of course, I didn't think I was the only one, but you always feel like other people handle situations better than you do. I think that's human nature. And my lovely therapist, her name is Laurel, said that it's human nature to do the same things. To go out with the same friends, to go to the restaurants that are easiest, to, not learn little tricks on your phone because it's hard, to whiz by the same place time and time again and not stop, to go to the same park to walk. These are just some of the examples, but she said that's what people do. That's how our brains are wired because we want safe and we want comfortable. And just by doing one little thing different, you can kind of start the change.
Yeah, so true. So you started your project, and okay, so tell me, was there a favorite thing you did or something you learned when you were doing? I know everybody asked you that. Like one thing that was really uncomfortable, one thing you learned by doing all these things.
Yeah, well, I did something new every day. So there were
Okay.
a lot of things I learned. And the book highlights some of the things, just a few of the things. But I think my favorite thing I did, and anyone can do this, is I did a ride along with a police officer.
Oh, wow.
And that came about because some people may think that's not a big deal, but I had dinner with my son and his roommate. And his roommate had done one in Brooklyn, New York, and was talking about it. And I came home and I thought, well, I wonder how you do that. So I checked into it and they do a background check. And, I reported to the police station at 6 a.m. in the morning. And I was nervous. I was very nervous. I was nervous about how they were going to receive me. Would they want someone riding with them? What would we get in danger? And I had the nicest police officer, and he said that they actually like citizens coming along and they like to show them what they do. He was so professional, and we rode together for 9 hours, and
Wow.
there was a situation, and I couldn't believe I was doing what I was doing, but I just trusted him. And
Yeah.
I thought, what are the odds? I think that's the title. I talk about it in the book, and that's the title of the chapter. What are the odds? What are the odds that something bad is going to happen to me? they're not
Right.
great. So I'm going to go ahead and do this. So that was my favorite thing. I was really proud of myself, and my kids were proud of me for having
Awesome.
done that.
Well, and I think too, it goes back to human nature, is we look at all the things like that could go wrong.
Oh,
Instead of,
absolutely.
what an amazing experience and what could be a good thing, you see on TV, helping a cat out of a tree. Or so, where I live last week, and I don't live in a rural area. I live in a pretty metropolitan area. And last week there was a bear that was in a tree here that the police had to get out.
Oh.
So you never know what you might be doing.
Well, that would have been fun. I would have liked to have had that.
Yeah, it was got a lot of attention because it's been here and there, a bear cub and going climbs up in the tree and then goes to sleep. But so, all right, so you started doing your new things. And then it wasn't like day one, new things, day two, write a book.
No, 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 no.
And that's what people see. They see day one and the success.
Yeah.
There's a lot in between. AOL did an article on me several years ago about my Mary Kay career. And they said, I started a Mary Kay business for $100 and I had a pink Cadillac. And everybody wanted to know how you do it. And they didn't see the 15 years in between.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's talk about some of the in-betweens.
Well, I started it when I was 57. I started the project.
Okay.
And the book came out when I was 64.
Okay. You look good.
Oh, bless you. Bless
Your book came out at 64 and it's been out for a minute.
it hasn't been a year yet.
Okay. You still look good.
But it was, so it took that long. I
Right.
probably didn't start writing it until I was 58, but still there was just a lot. First of all, I had to figure out how to write a book. So
Right.
I Googled and took online classes, took a couple classes here in Nashville. All kinds of online classes are available.
Which anything you want to learn how to do, it is available. We can figure it out.
It is available. And
having the courage to learn, because then you have to do it.
Talked to a lot of people. There was a writer's group in Nashville I joined. The local bookstore was a good source of information, setting me up with different people. But the bottom line is you just have to do it. For a long time, I think I processed. I got organized and I took classes and I did all this stuff. But I
Yes.
never actually sat down and cranked out pages.
Yeah, I
because
just
I was
it's
putting it
scary.
off.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
scary yeah
And that's
it's
how we say I don't procrastinate, but I'm deadline driven. So I have to have a deadline. I just taught a workshop on how do you start a podcast and like start it now, don't wait. And everybody in the group I asked, how long have you been thinking about it? And one was as long as 3 years ago. And so, we can procrastinate. We were talking to a friend yesterday. We were talking about how during exam week, your house was super clean. It's that procrastination.
Yeah,
But yeah, you have to deadline. You have to commit. You have to tell people. So what do you wish you would have known before you started this process of writing the book?
Oh, what do I wish I'd known? I felt like I knew it was going to be brutally hard, and then to get it published is brutally hard.
Right.
I wish I'd known that it's okay to be overwhelmed, and that's just perfectly normal. No one, I've interviewed a lot of authors on my blog and podcast, and no one just sits down and writes,
Right.
even the great authors of this world. It takes a while. And I wish I had given myself a little bit more grace.
Yeah. Have you seen the movie? I Only Imagine, or if I imagine,
I don't think so.
It's by a Christian singer, and he was the beginning of the movie starts out with Amy Grant, who is a very famous Christian singer, asking him, how long did it take you to write the song? And he said, 10 minutes. She goes, no, it didn't. It took years. And so this movie is, excuse me, Shell's even saying it, is his whole story of how he got to that.
Oh, I'll
So
have to look look that up.
Yeah, it's so good. Like seeing it many times, you will cry. Happy cry, but cry.
I love Amy Grant. She lives here in Nashville.
Yeah. So yeah, it's such a good movie. But you know, it goes, you know, again, we see the beginning, we see the end, we don't see the middle. And it's not always easy. And there's a lot of overwhelm. And that's how we reach where we are. Would you say there's anything you wish you're glad, or are you glad you didn't know?
Oh, that's such a good
Where
question.
I have ever started, if I knew this.
I'm glad. Oh, wow. Okay, you stumped me, Leslie.
Okay.
And you don't edit this. Is there
I
any
don't. So
I'm
you're going to have to
glad
go
I
through. That's
didn't know?
okay.
I'm glad I didn't know how tough the job of an author is after the book comes out.
Yeah.
I thought it would be, and it is, great fun to go to book clubs or be on podcasts or go to a bookstore and talk about the book, and it is. But
Can.
you have to be prepared for there only being a few people that come into the bookstore to hear about your book. Or your book not selling at a certain bookstore, and so they return it, and you get a report that tells you, what's been returned. And oh, and of course, there's always going to be a bad review, always. And that's probably, I think if I had known how difficult that was, I would have thought, oh, do I want to put myself out there? But having said that, I would do it all over again.
Yeah. And it's, you know, talking about that bad reviews. You have 1,000 good and you have one bad, and that's what we focus on.
And that's what we
That's
focus
the
on.
experience. And I know going back to Laura Carney, who connected us basically, but she said one time that her and another author that I met, they basically is like, whenever anybody asks, you just say yes. You know, you just show up and you just say yes, because you never know where that's going to lead. So true.
And it's fun to meet people.
Yes,
Absolutely.
like all the cool people. And you know, I'm excited. When we were talking the other day, you're like, I want to come to your luncheon. So Pam might be a guest at my luncheon sometime. Might be fun. So
Fingers crossed.
yeah. So anything, how many times did and you probably couldn't even count. Were there times, put it this way, that you were like ready to throw in the towel and like, I quit?
Yes. I thought I can't do this. They would say, okay, you need 5,000 more words, or, and I'm like, I am out of stories. And you just get so tired. You proofread it and you go back and back and back and look over it. And you get so sick of the story. And I guess that's when it's time to say you're done.
Yes.
But yes, there were plenty of times, plenty of times.
So, what advice would you give somebody that's writing a book, doing a podcast, starting a business, doing anything that's
Oh,
ready
gosh.
to quit when it gets hard?
You know what? I would say look at each step rather than the whole staircase. Because I think anything in life, when I look at the whole picture, I get very overwhelmed. But if
Oh,
I
yeah.
say, okay, what's the next thing to do? I can do that. But I don't want to look at the whole picture. And I think if you just, sit down, let's say you want to start a podcast and you say, okay, today I'm going to register a domain name, or I'm going to register the name of my podcast, or I'm going to schedule an appointment to have a friend or a photographer take a picture of me for the podcast. I think if you just do one or two little things every day, it starts snowballing. And before you know it, you are really on a roll.
So true. And that is exactly what I just taught on this podcast workshop. I'm
Did
like, here are
you?
all the steps. And then before we got off the call, I'm like, all right, so what's one thing you can do? And let's give it a date. Like one thing on this list. And because that's so true. It's just one thing. It's one day at a time. Why not today moments at a time? And just that one thing. And somebody said years ago that, you know, if you're gonna drive to the other side of town at night, you're not gonna wait till all the lights are red to go through. or not even a night dinner, but all the red lights can't be green. You're gonna have some stops, and so you're not gonna see the end. And thank goodness we don't see the end. And there's so many surprising things that happen on the way that you had no idea.
Yeah, enjoy the journey. Enjoy the journey. Well, I've made a pact with myself, and now my writing time is really in the morning. That's when I'm the best. And I've told myself that even if I have 10 minutes, I'm going to sit down and write for 10 minutes, which really doesn't get me very far, but at least I've done it. And I feel it makes me feel good. And if I do that every single day, I make a lot of
That's
progress. And you know, it's futile for me to wait until I have 3 hours. That just doesn't happen very often.
And sometimes when you have 10 minutes, I know for me, when I have 10 minutes, you get a lot more done. I always talk about the activity expands for the time available. If you have all weekend to clean your house, how long does it take you to clean your house?
All weekend. 10
Your mother-in-law calls and she's 10 minutes away. How long does it take you to clean your house?
minutes. Yeah, that's so true. So
Yeah.
true.
And so I did have somebody do that to me recently. I was going to go to her house and then something happened and that didn't work. So she was coming to my house and I had 20 minutes. And it was amazing how nice it was a Friday. And by Fridays, my house is kind of a mess because I've run in and out and busy. And it was amazing how good it looked when she walked in the door. She would never guess what it looked like.
You
And
know,
it
that's so
looks
true. I tend to fill up the time, or you know, I can putter around and
yeah,
fill up
because you really don't want to write, but.
whatever time I have. Yeah, that's
And
so
the
true.
other thing too, as I shared a post today online about, you just got to start. This morning I woke up, it's a little chilly for June. It's raining and it was raining pretty darn hard. And so I thought I'll just take the dog out really fast because I don't feel like it. But I love my walks in the morning. It gets my day started. And you know, I dressed warm enough, put her raincoat on her, and we took a few steps and a few more. And next thing you know, I did my whole walk. You know, I was drenched. She was drenched, but we didn't melt. But and I felt so much better as opposed to not doing it. And then you know, if you've committed to yourself, you're going to write for 10 minutes and you write, how do you feel all day?
I
You
feel
know,
like I've done something.
and
Yeah.
if you decide you can talk yourself out of it, which somebody on my post I put today, she goes, the older I get, the more excuses I have. I'm like, yeah, because our excuse library just got bigger every year. But you know, if you don't do it, you think about it all day long, you beat
Oh,
yourself
yeah.
up.
That's true. It kind of niggles away at you. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So what advice would you give to somebody else?
Other than the staircase, I would say, I learned through my little project here that
Your little project that ended up being a book. I
that
love it.
you really do have to go after your own happiness. You know, I think for a while I was guilty of waiting for my happiness to come to me. You know, when we lived in Houston, I was waiting for this big light bulb moment to happen to tell me what my next step was going to be. We moved to Nashville. I was kind of waiting for that light bulb moment. I was waiting for people to want to be my friend. And I had to work at it. And you know, I had to create that happiness. And I know that sounds simple, and but
Very profound. Like it's,
I
and
think I
I
had
think,
forgotten that a little bit.
and we wait for the perfect time to get married, to have kids, to do the thing, to go on the trip, to, you know, the list goes on and on. And we're not promised tomorrow. And it slips away so fast as, you know, we're close in age. And I'm like, how the heck did this possibly happen?
I know, I
You
know.
know, you
I don't
just
feel as
think,
old as I am.
no. You know, I think about when my dad, even my parents turned 40, and I thought that was like so old. And I'm like, oh, wow. How am I this old? But I had a big birthday a couple years ago and didn't really want to celebrate and was kind of feeling down about it. And friends like, you need to celebrate that you've made it this far and you've accomplished and we're still kicking. And we're still, you know, I was talking to somebody the other day, they're like, I'm impressed that you still are starting new businesses and doing new things. And I'm like, of course. You know, so many people, as this person that came to the lunch, felt like she was out to pasture. I'm like, no, there's so much still available.
Well, and I remember a quote that someone said to me years and years ago that if you don't start it tomorrow, you're going to be yet another year older and you still haven't started it. So
I also have heard you can start a diet in the middle of a bag of potato chips. You just got to start. So, well, I always like to talk about connection with my dad. Obviously, you never met
I
my
like that part of your show, Leslie.
dad. Fun. So I'd say the two things right off the bat is he lived in Indiana. That's where he met my mom, and that's where they got married. They actually got married. My dad went to Notre Dame. My mom was from South Bend, so they actually got married at the church in Notre Dame, which now I guess you have to be in a lottery, and it's a pretty big deal to get in.
Oh, you know what? I went to Purdue, so I'm not a Notre Dame fan, but one of my husband's college friends got married in the Notre Dame Chapel, and it was beautiful.
The chapel or the church? The big one?
This was a long time ago.
Yeah, because I think there is a chapel, but there is the big church, which
I think it was the big church.
yeah,
Her
because looking back, my aunt got married there too, and I was a flower girl. And looking at pictures of me this big and the long, huge aisle to get.
It was beautiful. Her parents, the bride's parents worked there, and so they may have had.
And now it's like you have to call in at a certain hour or a certain day. And
Oh, okay. Well, this was a long time ago,
yeah,
but
so
anyway,
is my parents,
it's
obviously.
beautiful.
But and then the other connection is my dad grew up in California.
Ah.
California. So, and he was definitely a try new things kind of guy. So we did, and this is a big try new things. When I was 16, my parents bought a camper, an RV, and we traveled cross country. And we were gone for 5 weeks.
Was it fun?
Looking back, yes.
But you were a teenager.
I was 16 and had just
Yeah.
gotten my driver's license. I
Yeah.
was the oldest at that point of five of us, and my youngest sister, when we got on the road, was 5 weeks old.
Oh.
So the last thing you want to be doing when
Yeah.
you're 16 is hanging around a baby, let alone on a camper. But it was definitely an adventure, and he was always up to trying new things. And so I can definitely see that connection with you and him.
Did you go coast to coast?
Yep. We started in Virginia, went all the way to California, up the coast, and then back. So we went south there and then north coming back. And my mom drove for maybe half an hour, and my dad and I drove the rest of the way. I was 16 years old.
And you drove an RV.
25-foot RV.
Wow.
And if you listen to my episode with my mom, we talk about that adventure that and people laugh. They can't believe it really happened. But and this was a long time ago. It was 40 some years ago, 45 years ago. And there were lots of straight roads. And so my 12 and 13-year-old brother drove too. Like they just switch and they just drive. Like, good thing my dad's not alive. He might have gone to jail for that.
It's a different world now.
It is a different world now. So, well, thank you so much for sharing. And I can't wait to read your book and dive into it. And I need to start doing some new things. I've done before a holiday bucket list where every day for the in the month of December do something around the holidays, but I love the no new thing. So I'm gonna try to think of a new thing I can do today.
You could listen to a new podcast.
I could. That's
You
a good
could.
You have a list in your book of all a whole bunch of ideas and suggestions?
I do. Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Might have to have you click a picture of that and send it to me. Need some new things, but I definitely am going to get the book.
They're integrated in the chapters.
Okay. All
Yeah.
right. I guess I'm almost done with my book I'm reading, so it's about time to order it. So I'm
Thank
excited
you.
to read it. So, and thank you so much for being a guest and for
Thank you for
sharing
having me.
stories. And I hope you get to come up here sometime, or I'm coming to Nashville one of these days and I'll get to meet you.
Maybe both. Maybe both.
Yes, exactly. Well, and thank you everybody for listening to the Why Not Today podcast. If today's episode gave you clarity, encouragement, or a practical idea you can use, I'd love to hear it. And if you're ready to take the next step in your business or life, I offer complimentary coaching sessions to help you get focused, support you, take action, and move forward with confidence. I'm all about taking action. So everything's on my website at whynotsaymovement.com. And this podcast is your bridge from inspiration to action. And I'm here to walk with you through every step of the way. So if this episode spoke to you, as I said, share it with a friend, review it. Don't forget to subscribe. And remember, you don't need to have it all figured out. You just need to take one more brave step. And why not today? Thanks, Pam.
Thank you.